Acts 10, we're going to look at verses 34 to 43 today. Christianity is actually pretty simple when you get down to it. It's about Jesus. Jesus is the center. Jesus is the power. Jesus is the one you seek. Jesus is who you want. Jesus is God's greatest gift. And this is crucial to get this, that Jesus is what it's all about, because most people are looking for God in all the wrong places. When Jesus taught, he pointed to himself. And he said things like, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. A lot of these I am statements that Jesus gave, he's pointing to himself and saying, I am the one you're looking for. And then when the apostles taught, they pointed to Jesus. And that's what we're going to see today. We're going to see Peter teaching, and we're going to see what he has to say. So Acts 10, starting in verse 34, it says, so Peter opened his mouth and said, truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he's Lord of all, you yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us, who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Okay. So if you remember what's been going on, Peter has come to the home of Cornelius. Cornelius is a Roman centurion. He's a Gentile, not a Jew. And Peter had to have a vision that God had to give him to sort of prepare him for this idea of taking the message of God to Gentiles. And so Peter shows up at Cornelius's house, and Cornelius has got a crowd there, people he knows, friends, family, probably. And they have now said to him, verse 33. So Cornelius says, I sent for you, Peter, at once, and you've been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we're all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. And so he said, we're all gathered here. Peter, tell us, what do you have to say? Our text today that I just read is what Peter had to say. That's his message to these Gentiles. And when Peter preaches, which is what he's doing, he preaches Jesus. Look at verse 36. This is the good news of peace through who? Jesus Christ. That's verse 36. Who is Lord of all? Look at verse 37. You know what happened in Judea and Galilee after John's baptism. And then he's going to tell the story of Jesus. So verses 37 to 41, he's just going to tell what happened. What happened? Well, verse 38, God anointed Jesus with the Spirit and with power. Verse 38, Jesus did good works, and Jesus healed, and Jesus cast out demons, and Jesus, he's doing all of these things. Verse 39, part of the story of Jesus. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead. That's verses 40 and 41. And we are witnesses of all of this. And so Peter is giving a summary of Jesus' story. And when he finishes summarizing Jesus' story, what does he say? Verse 42. Jesus is your judge. He's going to judge you. And verse 43. All the prophets point to Jesus. And forgiveness of sins comes through his name. Okay, the common denominator in everything I just said, which is really what Peter just said, is what? Jesus, yeah, easy. I'm throwing you a little softball there. So everything Peter said comes back to Jesus. He is the heart of Peter's preaching. So let's talk about some of the things that Peter said. So verse 43, we'll start there at the end of his message. It says, to him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Okay, he's talking about forgiveness. And he is saying forgiveness is in Jesus. That means salvation is also in Jesus. And it comes by faith in Jesus. So look at verse 43 again. Who is it that receives forgiveness? Everyone who believes in him. So that word believe, that's a verb, and the word faith, which is a noun, are the same word. You could translate believes faiths, except we don't really use the word faith as a verb in English.
Oh, is that what you mean? Okay.
Yeah, we could translate it that way, but we don't use that word in English, so they don't translate it that way. And so believe is the verb form of the noun faith. And when you see that in the scriptures, that's actually the normal word for believe. Is the normal word, the verb form of the normal word for faith. And it's not just this text, it's everywhere in the New Testament when you see it that way. That's what believe means. It means have faith. We might put it that way. We do use it that way. He has faith. And so, salvation and forgiveness are in Jesus. That means they're not in you. And sometimes we need to kind of remember this. You can't save yourself. You can't. You can't pray enough to pay for your sin. Your sin's too expensive. You can't give enough money to overcome your sin. You can't help enough people to wipe out your sin. Apart from Jesus, your sin is on your head. And you can't remove it. I don't care how many good things you do, you can't remove it. It's doing good doesn't remove the consequences of sin. And we understand this in the normal world. So a man, let's say a man murders somebody. So he's murdered somebody, but then he goes and does all these good deeds. When he comes before the court, are they going to say, hey, look at all these good deeds, he's a good guy, we don't really need to punish him? Or does he get the punishment? He gets the punishment. Now, that's murder. You say, oh, that's just a big thing. Okay, traffic ticket. Let's say you're driving and it's a school zone and it's 20 miles per hour between 8 and 9 a.m. and you're driving 30 and you just forgot. The policeman pulls you over and he gives you a ticket. And let's say normally you're a really good driver. This is like rare. This never ever happens for you. Is he just to give you a ticket? He is just. And the penalty that you have to pay, is it right for you to pay that penalty?
Yes.
It is. And it doesn't matter how much good driving you have done in the past, does it? You might be the best driver in the world. And this may be the only time this has ever happened. And all your good driving does not make up for the fact that you deserve the penalty for that ticket that day. That's the way sin works. I don't care how many good deeds you do. They can't pay for the times that you sinned. And you understand this concept in normal life. It happens all the time. And so that's the way it is. You can't remove your sin. And so forgiveness is in Jesus. When I do something wrong against Leanne, I am not the one who must offer myself forgiveness. I can't, you know, sin against my wife and then say, oh, well, I'm forgiven. I've forgiven myself. That doesn't make any sense, does it? Forgiveness must come from Leanne. She's the one I forgave, or she's the one I sinned against. When you sin against God, you can't just wave a magic wand and give yourself forgiveness. It doesn't work that way. You can't do enough good works and give yourself forgiveness. Forgiveness must. It must come from God. It must. If it doesn't come from God, you do not have forgiveness. He has to offer it. And when God forgives, He tells you how that comes. How does it come about that He can forgive you? Verse 43. It comes in Him, that is, in Jesus. Everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness through His name. That's how forgiveness comes. That's how God has said it works. You want forgiveness? It's in Him. It's through His name. It's in Jesus. And it doesn't come any other way. Now, the reason why forgiveness is in Jesus deals with the story that Peter had just told in his preaching. Remember, he summarized the story of Jesus. He was anointed by God through the Holy Spirit. He went around doing good and healing and those who were under the oppression of the devil. They crucified Him. They hung Him, put Him to death on a tree, is how he puts it. God raised Him from the dead on the third day. That's what Peter just got done saying. Okay. That's that story is why forgiveness comes through Jesus. So why does it come through Jesus? The cross and the resurrection is why it comes through Jesus. Why is salvation in Jesus? The cross and the resurrection is why salvation is Jesus, is in Jesus. God is just. And sin is more severe than you think it is. We really make light of sin. It's not a light thing. And your sin and my sin justly deserves punishment. You know, people pray for justice all the time. They want justice. They seek justice and until it comes to them. See, if God really is going to be just, then every man and every woman who has ever lived, except for Jesus, deserves hell. That hell is justice. And people pray for justice. And they want a just God. And sometimes, I don't know if they know what they're praying for. What this means is if God is just, and if God is going to forgive, he has to forgive justly. He can't forgive any old way and remain just. It means God cannot forgive just by waving his hand and saying, I forgive. I mean, in theory, God could do that. He just would not be just if he did that. Think of a judge. What if a judge did that with criminals who came before him? And so here's the judge, here's the criminal. The criminal was guilty. He committed the crime. And the judge just waves his hand and says, the state forgives you. Good judge or bad judge? That's a bad judge. Okay, God's a good judge, guys. He is. I'm telling you flat out, he's not going to do that. He's not just going to wave his hand and say, forgiveness, you got it. There has to be justice. There has to be a just penalty that is paid for the sin in order for the forgiveness to be offered justly. For God to be just, there has to be justice. What it means is your sin has to be paid for. When your sin is paid for, God can forgive justly. But the payment for sin is really expensive. It's not like, we're going to fine you, $50. That's not the payment for sin. And so, God took that payment on himself. He took it on himself to pay for your sin. That is the cross. That's what the cross does. And God did that because he loves you. Because he wants to forgive you. The cross is there because God wants to forgive you. But he's going to forgive you in accordance with his justice. He's not just going to wave his hand and pretend that nothing happened. No, stuff happened. And so the cross and the resurrection show God's heart for you. Forgiveness is in Jesus, and forgiveness is nowhere else. And salvation is in Jesus, and salvation is nowhere else. There is no other name under heaven whereby man can be saved. As Peter said that earlier in chapter 4. And this is Peter's message to Gentiles at Cornelius's house. It's the same message he gave to the Jews. And so forgiveness is in Jesus, salvation is in Jesus, but there's something else in Jesus in this. Look at verse 36. What comes in Jesus? Verse 36.
Peace.
Peace comes through Jesus Christ. And that peace is good news. He calls it the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Jesus said, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives." You know, the world actually can offer you a type of peace. It usually consists of things like financial security, whereby people, that's what they pursue, you know? The reason people want financial security is they want peace. And so, the world can offer that to you. It can offer it's a shallow sort of peace. Or people, you know, the world can offer you good health, a comfortable home, a nice family, a nice job. All of these things the world can give to you. And they can give a kind of peace. It's just that peace is short-lived and shallow in the end. Because it's built on the wrong foundation. It's built on a foundation of sand, if we were going to use Jesus's metaphors. And then the rains come, and the storms come, and the winds blow, and the house falls down because it was built on the sand. But the good news of peace through Jesus Christ is deep and rich, because it's built on a rock, not on the sand. You know, in our lives, we have had many times with very little money and unemployed. She laughs because she knows it's true. she's remembering some of those times. And unemployment, and we've had surgeries, and we've had all sorts of, you know, difficulties, but there's peace. There's peace in surgery, and there's peace in unemployment, and there's peace in, you know, the job doesn't go the way you want it to go. I've been there. Because peace actually isn't in those things. It's not in money or work or health or even family. Jesus is our peace. And sometimes that's hard to hold on to. I've been there too, trying to hold on to the peace when, you know, I've been out of work for 3 months and I have a wife and kids. And anyway, I know what you're going through. But I'll tell you this, when you do hold on to it, it's real. It really is. And so we have peace because of, it's in Jesus, through the good news of peace, through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. And we have this peace because of the cross and the resurrection. There it is, there that is again. It just keeps coming up. It gives us so much because the sin is gone. The sin is gone. I mean, it's just gone. And we thus have peace with God. And when you have peace with God, you can have peace when you hurt. And you do hurt. So peace doesn't mean you don't hurt, by the way. And so in Jesus, we know that we shall overcome death. In Jesus, we know that our Savior loves us. How do you know He loves you? He went to the cross and died for me. That's love. Yeah, He loves me. There's no, a Christian cannot question. See, Christian question, that's what's throwing my mouth around. A Christian cannot question the love of God when you realize what happened on the cross. There can be no questioning that. In Jesus, we know that our Savior is with us. He will never leave us and never forsake us. He's always with us. Praise the Lord. It means whatever difficulties you are going through, whether it's health or financial or family issues or work problems, hold on to Jesus. There's peace in His name. And so Jesus brings forgiveness. Jesus brings salvation. Jesus brings peace. This is all in Peter's sermon. Peter then tells us Jesus is exalted. He's going to tell us more stuff about Jesus here. Look at verse 36. Who is Jesus? In verse 36.
Lord of all.
He is Lord of all. This is part of his sermon. He's telling us something about Jesus. Jesus is Lord of all. Look at verse 43. Sorry, verse 42. Gave you the wrong verse. Who is Jesus?
The one appointed by God.
He's the one appointed by God
judge.
To be judge of the living and the dead. The living and the dead covers how many people?
I think all of them.
It covers everybody. Yeah. Okay, that means Jesus is the judge of the human race. Mm-hmm. Jesus will judge you. Jesus will judge me. Jesus will judge your neighbors, your parents, your country, Jesus is the judge. Okay, now think of what he's Lord of all. Lord of all, guys. You see that word all there. All includes you. Jesus is your Lord. Jesus is your judge. He is first. He is highly exalted above all men and all angels and all heavenly beings. All includes all. He's Lord of everything that exists. It means that you and I owe Jesus our obedience. Because that's what Lord means. Lord without obedience is not Lord. You have to obey Him. It means that you and I owe Jesus our allegiance. You and I owe Jesus our heart. And this is hard. I'm not going to pretend that it's easy to give Him all. He's Lord of all, and He wants all. Because, I mean, you and I, we want to do what we want to do, right? You know, you want to do what you want to do with your time. And Jesus may have other ideas of what to do with your time than what you would like to do with your time. And sometimes we think that the money in our bank account is actually ours, and Jesus says it's His. And you want to control your life. And Jesus says, give it to me. I'm Lord. Trust me. Trust me with your life. And at some point, Jesus, who is your Lord and your judge, will ask you to give Him something that you actually don't want to give Him. And He's going to do it. In fact, I would be willing to say he's going to do it a lot. And it's part of training in the Christian life, is when Jesus puts his finger on some issue in your life and says, give it to me. What are you going to do? In order to give it to him, you really have to trust him. And so it may be your career that he wants you to give him. It may be something financial. It may be just earthly security. Give him your earthly security and trust him. And this may be safety. Give it to him and trust him. But when that time comes, when he does that, remember who is Lord. He asks us to yield to him, Jesus does. And we need to yield to Jesus and not have Jesus yield to us. That's getting Lord and servant the other way around. Now, if you fail in that, to live, and you go and you just live out your will instead of his will, I will say this, there's forgiveness. That's actually in this passage. And there will be times when that will happen. Because it says in Christ, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. He'll forgive. I'm not trying, but that's, forgiveness is not an excuse for sin. Sometimes people use it that way. You know, Paul protests against that in Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Don't you know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. What he's saying is, no. Forgiveness isn't an excuse to sin. It's there and it's real, and praise the Lord it is, because we really do sin. But it's not an excuse to go on and continue in sin. Because if you're in Christ, what he's saying is, how can you walk in sin when you're in Christ? You're a new person. New people don't walk that way. That's the idea of Romans 6. That's the idea he's saying. God's made you new. Walk new. He's given you new life. Okay, live a new life. Be who you are. Live the life accordance with what God made you to be. That's the idea. The forgiveness that Christ offers when we do fall magnifies our Lord. He's our Lord, and our Lord forgives. He's Lord, he is King, he is judge of the world, he is sovereign, but he loves us. He forgives. He gave his life for us. He gives peace. All of this is in Peter's sermon. All this stuff I just said is in Peter's sermon. It's packed. It's rich, the sermon that he's giving. All of this is in Jesus, because that's the focus of Peter's sermon. And Jesus is all of those things to all people. Look at verses 34 and 35. This is how Peter begins his sermon. It says, he opened his mouth and said, truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. What's the main idea of what he's saying there? In verses 34 and 5. What's the main idea?
God is impartial.
God is impartial. Mm-hmm. Okay? God has no favorites. Mm-hmm.
God
and he loves everybody. Mm-hmm. That's right.
But it does specifically say people that are seeking to do right.
It does.
From wherever. Right.
That's right. So think of what's going on now. Peter is a Jew. Peter has been called by God to go to Gentiles and preach this message to Gentiles. This is cross cultures. This would be like me as an American going to Burma and preaching to a different culture from me and so on. And Peter is saying the Jews are not more holy than the Gentiles. And it would be like me saying, oh, well, Americans, we're not any more holy than Burmese people. This is the idea that God is pushing the church toward. It's pushing the church toward a nations mentality and not just a small group, you know, this group mentality. It's all nations.
Plus, Cornelius was occupying an army, part of an occupying army.
That's right. You're right.
They hated that.
Well, and to what people thought of as God's holy land. This was, the Israelis got it wrong in the idea of, they thought they were supposed to be totally separate, do not connect with anybody, we are special and only
That's right.
God's. And God only loves us. And the whole point was they were supposed to explain who God was to everybody else. Kind of had that backwards, but anyway.
They did, didn't they?
I can't get down on them. I have everything backwards most times, so.
And so,
in that time, Jew things, they are top of everyone
in their mind.
Yes,
yeah.
That was a very common Jewish way of thinking at the time.
He chose us, so we're better.
That's right. Yeah. God chose us; we're better than you. Yeah. That's the idea. That Jewish people, a lot of Jewish people, had that idea. Jesus came against that idea.
Yeah, he did, and also thrown off the cliff for it.
But there are a lot of Jewish people who had that idea. Mm-hmm. And so, and Peter was a Jewish person, grew up in that culture, and that idea is in Peter. It has to come out of him. And Jesus is bringing that idea out of Peter, that the Jews are better, we're superior to you. He's combating, Jesus is fighting against that idea. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and what you said about him being a Roman occupied is huge. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would almost be like, you know, you're Karenni people and going to the Myanmar government that is oppressing your people and preaching the gospel to them and saying, hey, those people, God loves them just as much as he loves us. And he does.
We had some guys from China come to church come here to our town.
Yeah.
And we met a man who's from Tibet.
He's
a believer.
Yeah.
He shared the gospel with them. Mm-hmm. And he loves and cares about them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they are his oppressor. They are the...
They are.
They're in control of his country.
He can't see his parents. His parents can't see his grandkid or grandkids because
of
that.
But God has worked in his heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. So Peter begins his message with, all have access to God through Jesus. All do. Verse 35. In every nation. Verse 35. Anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable. And then look how he ends his message, verse 43. So he begins the message this way. Now he's going to end the message with, who is it that receives forgiveness?
Everyone.
Everyone who believes in him. That's right. Receives forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. Jesus is accessible to everyone. Everyone can be forgiven if they have faith in Jesus Christ. Everyone can be saved. Everyone can have peace. All this stuff I've been preaching on, I want you to see that it's for everyone, because Peter's emphasizing that in his sermon, that it's for everyone. Jesus is for everyone. Jesus is Lord of all. There it is again. Jesus judges the living and the dead. That's everyone, guys. It's everywhere in this sermon, you're seeing this idea. Jesus rules over all people. Jesus offers himself on the cross for all people. All people can know him. And all people includes you. And all people includes your family. And all people includes your neighbors. And all people includes your countrymen, whatever country you're from. It includes them. It includes your culture. It means take the simple message of Jesus to all people. Look at verse 42. Peter says, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is, and then we talked about the judge. Your message is Jesus. When you go to all people, that's your message. It's Jesus. Does someone hurt? Jesus gives peace. Does someone feel guilt at their sin? Jesus forgives. Is someone arrogant? Jesus is Lord of all. Does someone not know the story of Jesus? He went around doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead on the third day. That's the story. And because of all of this, you and I, and your family, and your friends, and your people from your culture can know God. This is the Christian message. Now, we have been, in this message, we've really focused on Jesus. What I want to do is close with a time of prayer in which we are praising Jesus. And maybe asking Jesus to help us to serve him as Lord. He's Lord. He wants you to serve him. And so I'm just going to open it up for prayer and praise him for whatever you want to praise him for, his peace, his forgiveness, his salvation, his other things that, you know, Peter may not have mentioned here that come to mind. And then ask for his help in whatever it is you feel you want to do that with. And so I'm just going to open it up and keep your prayers short. We're not looking for 30-minute prayers.